In the last couple of few weeks, the Methodist calendar, and in fact the church calendar around the world, has covered some serious ground in the central Christian narrative of the story of Jesus Christ. We've had the waiting of Advent, the waiting and the waiting and the waiting, the waiting for the coming of this Saviour. We've had the conception, the pregnancy. We've had the travels of Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. We've had the birth of Jesus as a helpless, dependent baby in a manger. And yet at the same time, Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God incarnate, God with us, dwelling in human time and human space. We celebrated last week with the receiving of the gifts from the wise men, Jesus as a toddler, receiving those poignant and meaningful gifts. Flipping back and forth a bit, on the 27th, we reflected a little on Jesus as a 12-year-old at the temple, deepening his relationship with God. As it turned out, rather stressing his parents out and starting to explore his wisdom, his insight, and his vocation. We take a leap now. We've leaped to today's gospel readings, which link firmly to our covenant service. Those that are familiar to many of us and are often spoken in some part during our communion services. Jesus at the cusp of all he came to do. Jesus sharing in that Last Supper. Jesus representing his broken body, his blood poured out through that meal. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, he said to them. Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And I love that repeated phrase. He gave it to them. Jesus gave it to the disciples. This is a gift. And sometimes this is something that which we can overlook in our interactions with God. Something which we can overlook in how we feel like we need to live a life as Christians or live a life as people who would seek to live under God in some way. We can lose sight of the fact that it is a gift. It is all an act of grace on God's part. This gift that Jesus gives in his body and in his blood, in his self-giving sacrifice on the cross, and not just his self-giving sacrifice on the cross, but in the whole way in which he lived out his life and his ministry, is a gift, is an act of grace on God's part. And so for us, as with Christmas, which I was saying to someone a bit earlier on, Roberta, I think, seems already in a quite distant past. But as with Christmas, what we do with the gifts that we receive is what defines them and what defines us. In our family, there was a lot of Lego involved this Christmas. Now, Lego, if it arrived fully formed and exactly how it was supposed to be, there wouldn't be much to do with it. It might make a nice ornament or, I don't know, a placemat or something. You could use Lego if it arrived fully formed, and that would be fine. But it doesn't work like that. It's not the point of Lego. You could also just leave the Lego in the box and say, well, it's a nice box. It's got lots of nice pieces. Maybe I'll throw them around every now and then, which, to be fair, Jesse would do. That's why we have to hide some of it. And you could just leave it in the box and say, well, it's a nice gift, write a thank you letter and be done, but not do anything further with it. But of course, we know that to get the fulfillment out of Lego, we need to construct it, to follow those instructions, to build what it is that the box has on the front cover. In our family at this Christmas, it was particularly a kind of strange elf treehouse combination. It's amazing. Much better than when I was a wee lad, but some incredible Lego. And so that's when we get the fullest out of Lego. And of course we know, those of us that may have played Lego as children or still now, know that actually Lego becomes even more satisfying when we've learnt how to use it, when we've learnt how to build it, but we start to experiment, to deviate from the plans and to try new and innovative things, to come up with our own ideas. And if anyone's seen the Lego movie, which I would highly recommend, even if you don't have children or grandchildren, it's a brilliant film. There's a central thrust running through that film of saying, don't get too conformed into having to just do things the way everybody else does them, but be creative, be expressive. And I think it's not too far of a stretch to apply that as an analogy for how we receive the gift of faith and how we receive the gift of Jesus. It doesn't come pre-packaged. It doesn't come complete. When we receive God into our lives or we start to explore the Christian faith, it doesn't come, however much some books might want you to tell you or some particular churches might want to say, it doesn't come as a ready-made, easy-to-fit, one-size-fits-all kind of a faith. It's something which needs work. It's something which needs building. And similarly, we can't just receive the gift and say, well, it looks good, but I'm just going to leave it as it is. I'm not going to do anything about it. To take seriously the Christian faith is to engage with the instructions, to engage with the teaching, to engage with what other people can teach us about it. And ultimately, again, as with Lego, is to learn for ourselves as individuals, as families, as a community, how we might innovate, how we might create, how we might do new things for God with that gift that we have received from Him. Of course, this kind of principle applied to Mary and applied to the disciples too. For Mary, when she received and accepted God's gift to her in Jesus, she accepted all the joy and all the pain of motherhood. A poem which has been used as a hymn written by Gillian Collins, which I've only seen this last couple of weeks, goes like this. And it gives us that sense of this gift which she received in Jesus, but the all it was to lead to. It says, Mary, joyful mother, resting from the birth, do you sense the future for your son on earth? Angels, shepherds, wise men, all foretell a king, but like every mother, you'll know suffering. Mary, anxious mother, we skip now to the 12-year-old Jesus, searching for your boy. Jesus does not mean to anger or annoy. He's still in the temple, asking questions deep. This disturbing memory, ponder now and keep. Mary, hurt, excluded, standing in the cold. Jesus, inside preaching, challenging and bold. Seems now to belittle all your love so free. Who will be my family? Those who follow me. Mary, watching sadly by the cruel cross, who can know your thoughts now, grieving in your loss? Was it all for this then, all your years of care? He cries, it is finished. You weep with despair. Mary, new disciple, in the upper room, waiting, watching, praying, spirits coming soon. Mother of the Christ child, suffering, faithful, true. We have now a saviour. God be praised for you. Mary receives the gift of God in Jesus Christ, perhaps more fully than any other human can ever experience or understand. She receives that, but she knows in that gift there is a life of both joy and suffering. There is a life to be lived in response to the receiving of that gift. And then this reading we've done today from Mark, in the disciples' receiving of that gift of bread, in the acceptance of that gift of wine, they received, yes, the blessing and the fullness of God's life and grace, but they also knew that in receiving that gift, they were called to a life of commitment and sacrifice. In this receiving of the gift, all which God offers in Jesus Christ may be received. But it is a gift that requires action, a gift that requires a response. He gave it to them. And we too today do the same when we participate in Holy Communion. When we receive those gifts of bread and wine or a prayer of blessing, we say, yes, we want to receive all that God has to offer, but also we're willing to commit in response. We are not going to be passive participants in this life of faith. We are going to live a life of faith too. as Nick read from Romans chapter 12, another perhaps familiar passage. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. It's all a gift. It's all grace. It's all an act of God that we receive in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet, we believe and we think and we see through history and through the history of the church and perhaps in our own lives, we see that to receive the fullest life possible, to receive the richness of God's hopes for each of us and for the hopes of human society, we are urged to offer ourselves to God in return, to receive that gift, but also to give in return, to live a life committed to God and to others, and to be transformed. Mary did it. The disciples did it. And they were rewarded with a life of great richness and depth, as well as great difficulty and sorrow. And so if we, like them, are to take this seriously, then we are to commit ourselves to the life of faith in any number of different ways, in any number of different places, in any number of different times. And for those that would be part of the Methodist Church or see themselves as having a kinship or an affinity with the Methodist Church, one of those ways in which we commit ourselves is in the covenant service. A service which very often and usually takes place close to the start of the year. A timely part of the calendar to do it in, because so many of us often reflect on what's gone on the year before and what our hopes for the coming year might be in all aspects of our lives. Now, there may be some of us here for whom we remain uncertain about the gift of God in Jesus Christ, whether we can really believe and accept it, whether we have the faith. And that's okay. That's okay to be here this morning like that. Participate, if that's you, participate in today's prayers as much as feels appropriate. Please make sure that you are acting and thinking and praying with integrity. It doesn't matter what other people are doing or saying or praying this morning. Although I do think there's something powerful about making these promises together during worship in solidarity with others. There might be some of us here today for whom this is the first year or the first day, the first service even, where we might seriously consider the reality of the gift of Jesus Christ to the world and in our own lives. And therefore, this covenant prayer which we pray this morning, we might want to take as a first serious step of faith. Or again, we might not feel quite able to do that and to pray that just yet. And again, that's totally okay. There may be some of us here who have worshipped faithfully year in, year out, week in, week out, have made the covenant prayer in faith and hope year on year, but don't feel like we've experienced the love of God promised to us in Jesus Christ, the fullness of that life. And yet, we might gather here today again and faithfully pray this prayer again in hope and in anticipation and in commitment. And my prayer for you, if that's you this morning, would be that God would touch you. God would reveal God's self to you in a fresh and new way this morning. And of course, there may be some of us who have prayed this prayer year in, year out, over years or many, maybe even over many decades. Those of us who have known the ups and downs of life, who have known God's blessings and have known many hardships. Those of us who don't know what the next 12 months hold and yet are willing and prepared to commit them and to commit ourselves again to God. For me, I have to confess that I find this prayer that we're about to pray very hard to pray sometimes. And in some ways it gets harder the more you go on, the more you experience of life, the more difficulties you might have, the more you see suffering in others. It becomes harder to pray, harder to commit. And I'm happy to share my experiences with you if you tell me your experiences of that. But I do believe and hope and trust that as we receive God's gift to us in Jesus Christ, and as we take seriously that gift and our commitment to God, then we are given the possibility and opened up to the possibility of a richness and fullness of life, that we might experience that life opening up before us today, this year, and in the years to come. We're going to pause just for a moment in quiet before we turn to the covenant service itself. So let's pray. Lord God, we bring to you our thoughts, our concerns, our hopes, our reflections on the life of Mary, the disciples, of the gift that is offered to us in Jesus Christ. And we just pause for a moment at the beginning of this new year.